Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing again. Believe in a power greater than what you are going through. When you don't know what to do, keep breathing. Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing again. Believe in a power greater than what you are going through. When you don't know what to do, keep breathing.
That's right, when you don't know what to do, just keep on breathing. From the city of Los Angeles, I should say from the city of angels in Los Angeles. Welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the caregiver's caregiver at caregiverdave.com. Also coming to you live and on demand 24/7 on numerous syndicated radio and podcast networks on 26 global audio video platforms, including iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Vimeo, and many, many more. In fact, we're proud to be voted number one caregiver podcast on FeedSpot, thousands, and number one caregiver podcast of the top 50 on Player FM. We have an especially exciting show planned for you today. Ariel Ford is a gifted writer and the author of 12 books, including her debut novel, The Love Thief, a romantic spiritual thriller. Her book, The Soulmate Secret, Manifest the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction, is an international bestseller, and she wrote Wabi Sabi Love, The Ancient Art of Finding Perfect Love in Imperfect Relationships, offers a groundbreaking shift in perception, showing couples how to have a deeper, more loving, and more fulfilling relationship. I'm curious to find out what Wabi Sabi is. Ariel lives in La Jolla, California, with her husband, soulmate Brian Hilliard, and their feline friends. And I do want to take this moment and thank my last week's guest before we get started with Ariel. Terrence Harge is an entrepreneur, speech therapist, author, husband, father, and he runs homes for adults with developmental disabilities. And just a reminder, you can watch or listen to that interview and all our interviews on our membership website, caregiverdave.com, or any of our other 26 global audio video platforms mentioned earlier. Okay, enough of that. Ariel, so great to have you on the Caregiver Dave radio show.
Yes, nice to meet you.
I always like to ask my first-time guest, just who is Ariel Ford and why was she placed on this earth?
Well, you know, at this point in my life, I would say I am simply a storyteller.
Mm. Aren't we all?
Yes, I've reduced it down to that. That's what I do. That's what I enjoy doing.
Is that your short answer? You're going to go with that one?
I'm going with that one.
All right. Well, we are so excited that you canceled all your plans, whatever they were, and you came on our show because we had a last-minute cancellation. I hate when that happens, but thank you so much for being so flexible. Now,
you know people who are important to me, so I'm happy to help.
Oh, thank you. Yes, and we both have a mutual love, Michelle, who is your publicist and a great resource for us as well. Now, in some of your books, you say that we are all brainwashed. That's an interesting thing to say. So what are we all brainwashed about?
We are brainwashed to believe that our lives are about seeking perfection. People, media, society has brainwashed to seek perfection in ourselves, our kids, our homes, everything around us. It's all about seeking perfection, even though most of us really understand that perfection is impossible. We're constantly going after it, which leaves us upset, disappointed, frustrated, and feeling like, I can't probably say this word on your show, but you know, feeling really bad.
Well, I don't know how I missed introducing my co-host, Debbie Peterson, number one best-selling author, but Debbie and I have the same mentor, and he often says, Perfection is the enemy of success, if I got that right. I'm sure you would agree with that.
Totally, absolutely.
So what's the antidote to brainwashing, since we're all brainwashed?
Well, the antidote is wabi-sabi. So, what the
Wabi-sabi.
heck is wabi-sabi?
It's not a
Wabi?
restaurant, right?
No, it is not. But it's an ancient Japanese aesthetic that honors all things old, worn, weathered, imperfect, and impermanent. And it seeks to find beauty and perfection in imperfection. So,
I like that.
imagine this water bottle. It's an ancient Ming vase, and it has a long, crooked crack down the middle of it. A Japanese museum would put this broken vase on a pedestal and shine a spotlight on the crack, or they might even fill the crack in with 24 karat gold.
Wow.
So wabi-sabi is about learning to have a shift in perception and finding beauty and perfection in imperfection, both in ourselves and everyone around us.
I love that. And I've actually seen an old antique vase with gold in the crack, and it looks so cool.
It is so cool because we're all cracked up. All of us are.
I
All
know, and we
of
should fill
us.
ourselves with
We
a rare substance like gold so that we can be special. You got anything to say about that, Debbie?
Yeah. So let's talk about aging. We got a few cracks ourselves. So, how do we apply or how do we shift our perception? How do we wabi-sabi getting old?
Well, let me give you some statistics. Okay, so there's been a lot of studies done at various universities over the last few years. And what they have discovered is that there's a happiness U curve. And for most people, the unhappiest time of their lives is in their 40s. This is because they're raising kids, dealing with aging parents, all kinds of stress from work and relationships, and a general disappointment that life hasn't turned out exactly the way they've hoped for. And for a lot of people, the worst year of their lives is age 46. Okay, that's the happiness U curve. Now, here's the great news. After you reach 50 and until the end of your life, most people experience more happiness and more contentment as each decade approaches. And the reason for this is because as we age, we have greater emotional equanimity and we have the experiences and resources to go after the people, places, and things that make our hearts sing. So even though leading up to your 40s isn't so great, once you hit 50 and beyond, it's better. Now, where's the disconnect in all of this? Everything you see is telling you to anti-age, that aging is a terrible thing. But what they don't tell you is that there's all these incredible benefits to aging. And I don't know if I'm allowed to curse on your show or not, but it's really friggin' crazy that they do that, you know, because as we age, we have more freedom. And we also understand it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of us. And, you know, we know how to handle things. So for me, aging is just great. And I absolutely refuse to buy into it. And I have declared myself a wabi-sabi queenager. I'm a perfectly imperfect queenager. Now, what's a queenager? A queenager is a woman at midlife or beyond who's comfortable with her age and lives as freely as when she was a teenager, except now she's got the keys to the car, her own credit cards, and no curfews, right? So aging's wonderful. And my goal these days, it used to be I was all about teaching people about love and relationships. I did that for decades. Now I just want people to like start having fun. Like, what was it you liked to do as a teenager, and why aren't you doing it now? You know, I haven't finished writing up all my stuff on this, but I've got to just tell you the comparisons between teens and old people. Okay, so we know that what are teenagers about, right? They have curiosity, they have a quest for freedom, they're rebellious, they're spontaneous, and they're risk-taking. Well, why not be that in your 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond? right?
Amen.
Be curious.
Yeah.
Risk, have more fun. Nobody's stopping you but you and this belief system. Oh, I'm too old to do that. It's only true if you say it's true.
Yes. I used to be in my 40s and my 50s and my 60s. And
hey, I'm 71 and I just think it's great. And here's the.
I think we're all in our 70s, right, Debbie?
Are we not having a good time?
Couple years.
Do we not look
Almost.
Good? It's great. It's really great. And, once you're at this certain age, you get to play the age card. Okay. What's playing the age card? Well, for me, I would say my favorite way to play the age card is when I have to deal with customer service about something. And the first thing they always say is, well, download the app and then you can do it yourself. And I would say to them, hey, listen, honey, I'm in my 70s. I can no longer read the fine print on your app. Could you please help me? And then I get everything that I want. So playing the age card is a big advantage to aging.
Yeah. And, like you said, the 40s is when most people go into what's called a midlife crisis and they buy the red sports car or get a girlfriend or do God knows what, And so it's a great message for older people who are so freaked out about getting old. They're doing Botox and they're doing plastic surgery and they're doing hair color and this and that. And it's just nice to share that message with them that, hey, if you think it's bad now, don't worry. It gets much better.
And yes, our bodies do begin to rot. There's nothing we can do about gravity and rotting. But, the thing is, most of my friends are in my age group. So we get to share information. I don't have to Google every last thing. I just call up one of my girlfriends. Hey, my doctor just said I have this. What are you doing? What are you taking? And it actually creates a lot of bonding and community. It's like, I need to know, go ahead.
Well, it sounds like you're doing the rose-colored glasses. So what do you have to say? You're saying we should be wearing rose-colored glasses?
Yes. And I'm going to show you mine. Okay. Yeah. These are my rose-colored glasses.
Oh, pretty.
And there was a university study done at the University of Buffalo many years ago. And what they discovered is that people who consciously choose to wear rose-colored glasses live longer, healthier, happier, more satisfying lives. Why is this? Because when you're wearing your rose-colored glasses, you're looking for what's right instead of looking for what's wrong. I bought these for $12 on Amazon, by the way. Mm-hmm. They're not even expensive rose.
So are you saying wear rose-colored glasses in your attitude, or are you saying people who actually got glasses with rose tints?
Both. It's absolutely both. I think having the rose-colored glasses available is just a reminder. Oh, yes, how could I be looking at this? And that's sort of the wabi-sabi approach as well. Something bad or annoying or difficult happens, we can go into our reactive mode. We can get really nasty about it and flood our body with adrenaline and cortisol. Mm-hmm. Or we could remember, maybe if I did a little of my deep breathing, right? Or I took a lavender bath, or I did some EFT tapping, or I had, a cup of chamomile tea, maybe I could just calm my system down. And remember, I'm going to teach you the key to life right here. It's a line from the movie, The Last Marigold Hotel. I don't know if you saw that. It's a really fun movie. And in the movie, the line says, everything will be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, it's not yet the end.
That's so cute. I remember that. It fits perfectly. Yes.
Right?
I tried that with those rose-colored glasses. I actually bought rose-colored glasses and wore them. And I think for the first day, it was the amusement factor. It just tickled me to be doing that. But I observed they did make me happier. There's something to that.
Yeah, and I don't believe we need to understand why everything works. Everybody's out there trying to how come? Why? Listen, life's a mystery. All of it's a mystery. And even if somebody gives you the answer, we don't really know if they're right or not. You know, so I'm at this point where it's like, let's not look for answers. Let's just look for solutions and comfort.
Yeah, and that's not really an original idea, because the Bible was talking about that a long time ago. It says that, you know, we should not look at things as bad, because all things work out for good. And that's so true. And that's been my attitude. I'm an eternal optimist. A lot of people accuse me of living in La La Land, putting my head in the sand, being delusional, wearing rose-colored glasses. And, you know, it works for me. So I say amen to that, because eventually it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know. And I've
That's
got a lot of
right.
things on my plate now. You know, I got an aunt in a nursing home trying to get her an assisted living, and it looks like that's going to work out. I got my wife in a nursing home because, you know, she has shoulder surgery, and it looks like she'll be coming home sooner rather than later. I've got, you know, something in escrow, and that's being delayed. And I'm just saying, you know, I have no control over these things. I can only do what's in my control, and God has to do what's in his control.
Right. Yeah, I like to say I'm
Well,
a
which land
Sabbatic
would you rather
optimist.
live in?
Yeah.
What was that?
I'd
I
rather
said
live in La La Land. Yeah.
I was saying I'm a psychotic optimist.
Psychotic optimist.
Yeah.
What about when our partner, whoever our partner is, consistently does something that truly makes us crazy? Because I have an aunt who's crazy. I mean, she has dementia and she drives me crazy. And I finally, you know, had to deal with
Okay.
that. So, how do you
I
do?
don't. Well, that's a really difficult one. So I'm just talking about the general day-to-day crazy making stuff that
General
people
craze.
do.
Okay.
The
Yeah.
people that are certifiable, that's why you need professionals and medication, right? Because we can't talk them into our reality, unfortunately. But let me tell you a story that will explain how you can wabi-sabi your way with difficult stuff. I had a woman in one of my workshops once, and she stood up and she said to me, "My name's Stephanie, and I've been married to Garth for 16 years, and I have a problem even you can't solve." I was like, "Okay, what is it?" She said, "Well, I'm a perfectionist. I'm a neatnik. I'm an everything in its place kind of person. And Garth is a total messy slob. And it's just been driving me crazy. I'm not sure I can take it anymore. The only reason we're still together is that he has an out-of-state job 2 weeks of every month. So for the 2 weeks that he's gone, the house is perfect and beautiful and clean and all mine. And then he comes home and messes it all up again." So I said to her, I said, "Stephanie, do you have a dog?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Does your dog shed?" And she said, "Yes." Said, "Well, what do you do when the dog sheds?" She said, "Well, I vacuum up after him." And I said, "Well, Stephanie, do you love your dog?" And she got really quiet. And then she went, "Oh my God, Garth sheds." And in that moment, she saw that just like the dog can't help shedding, Garth can't help but be the slob that he is. It's no fixing that. So she seemed very happy with that. 2 years later, I was writing my book, Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate. And I remembered this incident. And I thought, oh, I need to find this woman and see what's happening with her relationship. So I called, it was someplace in Idaho that I spoke. I called the event manager and I said, "I have the craziest request." And I tell her this whole story. I said, "I need to find this woman, Stephanie." But there were 300 people in my workshop. She said, "Don't worry, Stephanie's my best friend. Here's her phone number." So I call Stephanie and I ask her how life is, and she got all swoony and gooey, and she said, "Oh, things have never been better." She said, "Things are so good that Garth quit his out-of-state job to start an at-home business so we can be together 24/7." She said, "And the answer is yes, he's still a slob."
Yeah.
So that's how wabi-sabi works. You have a shift in perception. You take something that once drove you crazy and you make up a new story about it. She didn't threaten him. She didn't say, "Garth, if you don't change, I'm leaving you." She had done that for 15 and a half years, right? But what she did was make up this new story.
I know you're old enough to remember Dr. Laura Schlesinger on
I
the
still
radio.
listen to her. She's on Sirius XM on the Triumph channel. I love her.
Oh, well, I didn't know where she went. Thank you for
that
advice.
That's where she is, yes.
But she always tells these stories about her patients. So this one story, and I'll never forget it. Says, I got a letter from this lady, and she says, you know, my husband drives me crazy. He clips his toenails all over the place. They're everywhere. And I just can't stand it anymore. And he died.
Oh.
And I would give anything to see those toenail clipping again, Dr. Laura.
Yes. Yes.
A little perspective.
Dr. Laura and I are 180 degrees apart politically and socially on just about everything. But mm-hmm. what she knows about relationships is just so golden. She's so brilliant. One of my favorite Dr. Laura things is that there was some woman on the phone bitching and moaning, complaining about her husband. And she said, do you ever watch the show Law and Order? And the woman said, yeah. She said, well, you know, in every show, there's a judge, there's a jury, there's a prosecutor, and a defense attorney. She said, I want you to imagine that you're the defense attorney for your husband's behavior. And you've got to make an argument to the judge and the jury as to why they shouldn't throw the key away for him. That's your job, to defend him, because there's some good reason why he keeps doing this. And I'm a Law and Order junkie. I've seen all 500 episodes at least twice. And I just thought, that is so brilliant. It's so true. You know, like, instead of trying to kill off your partner for the little things that they do, whether it's wet towels on the floor or not closing the refrigerator like my husband does or whatever it is, you know, can you just love them for who they are? Because I believe that all human beings want the exact same thing. We want to be loved and accepted for exactly who we are, warts and all.
Well, I'm so glad that Dr. Laura is still out there. I don't even know how old she is, but apparently she's...
Oh, she tells everybody. She's, I think she's 79 now.
Oh, not too old.
And she's still sailing, and she's still running and jumping and working out. And, you know, yeah. She's a widow now, though. Her husband died. And she loves Legos.
Why don't you take the last question, Debbie?
Yeah. So do you have a tip that people can... worn out caregivers, maybe feeling kind of fed up. Do you have a tip for those folks? Is there something, if they're really annoyed about something today, that you can give them that they can take away to have a wabi-sabi moment?
You know, I think they're just going to have to look for the way to flip the story, whatever it is, you know. I've done, unfortunately, way too much caregiving in my life as well. And when my mother was at the end of her life, and she had a lot of pain and a lot of issues, and the dementia kicked in, you know, I stopped trying to argue with her and tried to see if I could make things funny. Now, this is probably going to offend half your audience, but every time I would drive her to the doctor, she'd start up with, I can't take it anymore. I just can't live like this anymore. I can't take it, blah, blah, blah. And I was constantly trying to make it better. And one day I realized I can't. So I just said to her, you know, I really understand that you can't take it anymore. And I said, I don't have a lot I can help you with, but here's two things. You can have your choice. I could get you a gun, or I can get you a lot of pills. What's your pleasure? And then she started laughing and she said, that's not helpful. And I said, but that's all I've got. I want to help, but that's all I've got. She never said that to me again.
Wow.
Because the truth is, she really didn't want to die, you know, but I was just at my wit's end. I like, what do I do with this? I've taken her to every specialist there is. You know, and she knew she was losing her mind, which, because she was super smart, which was really hard, because in the moments when she was really there, you know, she was just so dismayed that she couldn't get the words out, that she couldn't make her brain work, you know, and then the rest of the time, you know, I don't think she remembered. Anyway, that's all I've got for now to help. I don't know if that's helpful for anybody.
No, it's great. It was a great show, a great interview. Thank you so much for coming on. Can't believe how fast our time has gone today. But thanks so much for coming on the show, Ariel.
Thank you.
How can our listeners reach you or read any of your, how many books? 18, 19?
Oh, 12 books.
12 books, okay.
Well, I'm on Instagram. It's my name, 44, Arielle Ford, 44. I'm at Facebook and my website, arielleford.com. I have a newsletter that goes out every Tuesday. And I just did a TED Talk on aging happily. So if you Google my name plus TED Talk, you'll find me.
That's cool. I have a TED Talk too. So that's really cool. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Debbie, how can our listeners get a hold of you, find out what you do to help make the world a better place?
You can go to MayorDebbie.com or you can go to Amazon, look for Debbie Peterson Integrity 101 series and check out The Happiest Corruption, Sleaze, Lies, and Suicide in a California Beach Town, or some of the other more helpful books in the series.
So funny. I remember all our live shows become recorded pod and video cast on all your favorite platforms that I mentioned. My number one best-selling book, Secrets from the Hammock, Uncommon Wisdom for Uncommon Times, is spreading wisdom all over the world, available wherever books are sold. Also on my free membership website, caregiverdave.com, where you can also schedule a free 30-minute initial coaching call. Talk about whatever you're struggling with. Also invite you to my Caregiver Dave Facebook community of 34,000 caregivers, lots of tools, resources, videos, this radio show, and much, much more. And if you click the like or follow button on whatever you're watching or listening to this interview on, it helps us reach even more caregivers by improving Google's search engine algorithm. So again, thank you to all my listeners, my guests, my co-hosts out there all over the world for tuning in every Wednesday and making us the number one caregiver podcast radio show on the internet. Until next week, same time, same channel. May God richly bless you all. Bye-bye. Thanks again, guys.
I'm Dave Nassani. My fourth book, Secrets from the Hammock, Uncommon Wisdom for Uncommon Times, is a number one bestseller on Amazon. As a young boy, I was told I possessed an unusual amount of wisdom for my age. As a young man, I found myself counseling friends and older family members whenever they needed answers to their problems. Then at 21, I read the Bible for the very first time and learned how King Solomon asked God for wisdom instead of riches, yet he received both. I was so impressed that I too asked God for wisdom. Soon after, I discovered when lying on my hammock, I would receive wisdom from God. This book is the result of my passion to share with the world wisdom's tremendous benefits. Join me as I reveal practical aspects of wisdom for the mind, body, and spirit. 31 lessons I learned from God that can change your life. Available in hardcover, Audible, Kindle, and paperback, wherever books are sold. I've spoken all over the country and London, and am available to speak at your event. Contact me at hammockwisdom.com.
Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing.